Welcome to Shattering This, a program devoted to the most important and fastest growing segment of our society. To those who know that the world's political, religious, media, military, and economic institutions are corrupt, that they are actually counterproductive, that they cannot be fixed. Our mission, therefore, is to look behind the headlines, to know who is working against our interest, to understand why they are doing so. Because exposing and condemning errant and treacherous schemes isn't hateful, it's caring. In our concluding hour, we're going to use evidence and reason to explore the Torah. And in the meantime, we're going to use the 28 edicts of Seventh-day Adventists to destroy the myth of Christianity. It is the Torah's covenant that provides the only reliable answer for you or your family, whether you are beguiled by politics or by religion. Our phone number, if you'd like to participate in this discussion, is 877-300-7645. Yesterday, there was a well-promoted, highly viewed internet debate by Bill Nye, who is the science guy, on one side, and a New Earth creationist on the other. And while the New Earth, Young Earth creationist, by Young Earth, they believe that the universe is 6,000 years old, creationist was made to appear the fool. The one place where he was able to hold his own is something we've talked about at length in this program, which is the support for microevolution and the lack of support for macroevolution. For the most part, what Bill Nye had to say was accurate. Bill Nye just doesn't know that what he is saying is in total and complete harmony with what Yahweh's testimony is. Bill Nye did go off the deep end when he debunked the religious perception of the flood, not recognizing that that perception is not consistent with Yahweh's testimony. This program, Shattering Myths, is devoted to shattering the myths that are prevalent in religion, to shattering political myths, both sides of the aisle, Republicans and Democrats in America, but political myths of capitalism and fascism as well. Economic myths, particularly the development of central banks and fiat money and deficit spending, creating the dependency societies. Military myths in the sense that our military provides freedoms as opposed to robbing us of freedoms, that our military is productive as opposed to counterproductive. Media myths and exposing their errant reporting. Historical myths such as the myth that there is such thing as a place called Palestine and a people called Palestinians. Scientific myths when they promote the notion that life spontaneously generated and that we have all emerged from a single life form. Philosophical and societal myths, and yes, also conspiracy myths. If you have a sacred cow among them, be forewarned. It, too, will be exposed and condemned. When it comes to man's illusions, this program is an equal opportunity destroyer. This program is produced by GCN, the Genesis Communication Network. And while I gain nothing from it financially, it would be ignorant of us not to recognize that GCN exists in large part because it feeds, tantalizes, capitalizes upon, and even exploits conspiracy theorists. In this regard, I'd like to use Pearl Harbor as a harbinger for 9/11 so that our listeners might better appreciate what is reasonable and what is not. It is one thing, even reasonable, to recognize that as it pertains to Pearl Harbor, the United States ignored the signs that Japan was preparing to attack. It is one thing, even reasonable, to recognize that the U.S. slept and played while others prepared and plotted. It is one thing, even reasonable, to recognize that the U.S. made itself vulnerable and thus bears considerable responsibility for the loss of the 3,000 lives on that day. It is one thing, even reasonable, to recognize that the U.S. response was unnecessarily deadly and ultimately immoral. It is one thing, even reasonable, to recognize as it pertains to Pearl Harbor that the propaganda regarding the attack and the response from our government and its allies was orchestrated, inadequate, erroneous, and ultimately debilitating. But it's another thing altogether, and unreasonable, to believe that the United States actually planned the attack in advance, or that the United States participated in the bombing of its own ships and planes. The former realizations are thoughtful, the latter are not. The same is true for 9/11. It is reasonable to know, to realize, to understand that the United States ignored the signs that Muslims were preparing to attack. We had the battle plan. Was taken from a computer by Ramzi Youssef in the Philippines. Ramzi Youssef was well known to us. He was the first bomber of the World Trade Center. He was the architect of 9/11. We knew what he was planning to do, how he was going to do it. It is reasonable to recognize that the U.S. slept and played while others prepared and plotted. We wallow in our distractions, just as they did on the day of Pearl Harbor, December 7th, 1941. And yet, fundamentalist Muslims were preparing and plotting to take vengeance upon us. It is reasonable to recognize that the U.S. made itself vulnerable and thus bears considerable responsibility for the life of the deaths of 3,000 lives on that day. We aided and abetted fundamentalist Islam, in particular, as it relates to the Taliban and Al-Qaeda, we put them in business. It is our stupid energy policy and our reaction to OPEC that has funded Islamic terrorism. We were unwilling to acknowledge the role that Islam plays in these events. It is reasonable to recognize that the U.S. response was unnecessarily deadly and ultimately immoral. Rather than accusing the religion and holding it accountable and defending Americans against the religion of Islam, we went off and lashed away at symptoms, made all sorts of foolish, inaccurate statements that cost Americans $4 trillion, 7,000 lives directly in combat deaths and 200,000 later in suicides. It is reasonable to recognize that the propaganda regarding the attack and the response from the U.S. government and those allied with it was orchestrated, inadequate, erroneous, and debilitating. And it remains that way. But it is altogether unreasonable to believe that the United States planned the attack in advance, or that the United States participated in the bombing and destruction of its own buildings. Conspiracy theories are like an addictive, mind-altering drug that is consumed at a rave. You know, a rave is those high-energy, all-night parties that feature heart-pounding techno music and graphics where the participants are almost universally devouring ecstasy and other hallucinogenic drugs, mind-altering drugs. Those hooked in them are never satisfied. They always crave more. They become so fixated on the way these things make them feel that they lose all perspective. It becomes a religious experience. Rational thought becomes the first casualty. Credibility is the second. Now, I can't cite off the top of my head the statement that either of the two statements that Yahweh made regarding conspiracies, but I've come across two revelations in the Torah and prophets that specifically warn us against promoting conspiracies. I suspect that the reason is because of the seductive appeal and of the rabbit hole they so often lead the gullible down, where they see nothing other than other aspects of that same hole. The known facts are more than sufficient to expose and condemn Cleric and King. We do not have to fabricate or speculate. And based upon what we know, there is more than enough information available to us to know that all of the world's religious, political, military, economic institutions are corrupt and counterproductive, and that we should not ally ourselves with them. We should not trust them. We should not depend on them. We should not support them. Yahweh's message is the opposite of what people have been indoctrinated into believing. So, for it to resonate, we have to shatter man's myths to open people's minds. But let's do it in a way that enhances his credibility and that isn't destructive to our own. Now, if I might liken conspiracy theories to religious faith, let's compare it to Christianity for a moment. Paul's letters, which form the basis of the Christian New Testament, say the opposite of what God says in his Torah and prophets. They are the opposite of what Yahusha, the actual name for the Christian Jesus, said and did. So a person has to either be ignorant of the facts or irrational to remain a Christian. Since Islam claims in its Quran that it confirms the Torah when it rejects every aspect of it, a Muslim has to be ignorant of the facts or irrational to remain a Muslim. To be a conspiracy theorist, one has to myopically remove evidence from its context. Because when viewed holistically, the big picture is counter to the implication drawn from a leaf in the forest. When we return to Shattering Myths, we will resume this discussion briefly on conspiracy theories, and then we will move on to the news so that we can provide perspective in the midst of a disintegrating world. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. And speaking of myths, the United States government did not prepare the World Trade Centers to implode. The United States government did not bomb its own buildings. The 9/11 attack was not an inside job. If you don't agree, that is your choice. There are other shows, the biggest of which is available on this same network at this same time. But be aware of where it will lead you and the snake oil they are offering to exploit your naivete. The most prominent conspiracy theories can be broadly divided into two main groups, according to Wikipedia. The "let it happen on purpose" suggests that key individuals within the government had at least some foreknowledge of the attacks and deliberately ignored it or actively weakened America's defenses to ensure the hijacked flights were not intercepted. You know, similar allegations were made about Pearl Harbor. There is some truth to that, but it goes way beyond what is reasonable. Yes, the United States government, the FBI, CIA, was aware of Ramzi Youssef's plot. They were aware of Ramzi Youssef. They knew of Ramzi Youssef's connection with Sheikh Khalil Mohammed. They knew Sheikh Khalil Mohammed's relationship with bin Laden. They knew about what was being promoted in the Al-Qaeda mosque. They were alerted to the fact that Muslims were entering flight schools and were suspicious, and they were following the strategy that had been laid out by Ramzi Youssef relative to the plan of 9/11. They knew all those things, yes. Did all of that come together in a central place where a leader in the U.S. government says, aha, this is coming, it's evident, this is where it's going to be, let's let it happen? No. You can recognize that The premise is true. The conclusion is not. Then the other group says the United States government made it happen on purpose. Now, there are about, well, there are significant, we'll go over the exact numbers, but there's a significant number of Americans that buy into one level or another of let it happen on purpose. Let it happen, yes. On purpose, no. But there's a lot of people that buy into that, unfortunately. They made it happen on purpose is a very small cross-section of Americans, way below 5%. Those are the individuals that I'm speaking to, and I say, you just aren't thinking. Now, I've received a number of letters that are offended that I would say that such people are nincompoops, but what is a better word for someone who is not willing to be reasonable? Who is going to destroy their own credibility by promoting things which are just not true? The made it happen on purpose. Key individuals within this group believe that the government planned the attacks and collaborated with them. Wikipedia reads as it begins, it's 9/11, and I'd encourage you to read its page after page after page of information, but they do a pretty decent job. Wikipedia presents 9/11 conspiracy theories. Just Google 9/11 conspiracy theories, unless you're in Europe, and then you may want to Bing it. Yes, the Europeans want to sue Google, collect billions of dollars because Google isn't promoting their competitors. It says 9/11 conspiracy theories attribute the planning and execution of the September 11 attacks to parties other than or in addition to Al-Qaeda. Now, I have no problem with you saying that 9/11 was promoted by other than and in addition to Al-Qaeda, because Al-Qaeda was a bit player in the whole process. And the primary staffing organization was the Al-Qaeda Mosque in Hamburg, Germany. The instigator of the plan was not a member of Al-Qaeda. His name was Ramzi Youssef out of the Philippines. Al-Qaeda was irrelevant to the whole thing, and they just took the credit for it more than anything else. And the United States was happy to blame it on them because it gave them a foe to combat and launch a war against terrorism. So I don't have a problem with you recognizing that there was more to 9/11 than Al-Qaeda, because it was perpetrated by Muslims. It was motivated by Islam. And it happened because Americans, particularly in government, don't want to correlate Islamic terrorism with Islam. But was there advanced knowledge of the attacks among high-level government officials, as the 9/11 conspiracy theories purport? No. There was some knowledge among lower-level government officials who had read what I had read from Ramzi Youssef in the Philippines, but not at the highest levels of government. Welcome back to Shattering This, and we may be shattering our audience, and if that's the case, so be it. I am not going to lay off a debilitating, disorienting fabrication that influences so many, particularly that might be affiliated with this particular syndication, GCN, because of the fact that Alex Jones was among the first and the loudest to promote these harebrained ideas that the United States government was somehow involved in the planning or execution of 9/11. There's lots of reasons to distrust your government. There's lots of reasons to be displeased with your government. There's lots of reasons to expose and condemn your government. And the facts are everywhere. Every day's news is an avalanche of reasons to distrust your government, to walk away from your government in terms of support, to walk away from politics. You don't need to promote things that are obviously untrue to criticize the government. Because when you do, And when you cling to such things, you destroy your own ability to be rational. And you destroy your credibility. You know, government investigations and independent scientific reviews have found absolutely no evidence for these theories, any of them. You know, there's been investigation after investigation by architects, by engineers, by periodicals from around the world, from television shows, you name it. It's all obvious. The World Trade Centers fell because two 757s filled with jet fuel flew into the upper floors of both buildings. And the exploding fuel was so hot, it caused the structure of the exoskeleton of those buildings. Those buildings were externally supported rather than internally supported with steel beams. It caused the means that connected them and the strength of the steel beams themselves to deteriorate. And once the first deteriorated and fell upon the next one down, now you have not only that being compromised, but carrying twice the intended load. And then the next one down. Now it was carrying three times the intended load. And the amount of time of fatigue from one to the next became geometrically less. If you think that your government painted thermite on the beams, or that arranged pre-detonation to bring them down, I'm sorry, but that's ridiculous. Absolutely, utterly, and completely absurd. The explanation is so obvious. It's so consistent with engineering and the nature of these materials and the release of energy. That if you're going to cling to absurd ideas, that I don't know how any program, how any presentation of information and reason, a review of the news, is going to do such individuals any good. It's almost like a religious zeal exists, you know, amongst conspiracy theorists. You know, the moment someone begins to criticize the obvious flaws in conspiracy theories, then the ad hominem acts, the criticisms become manifest, and the individual is being offensive. Just as a religious individual or a political individual would respond. Wikipedia says the most popular conspiracy theory is that the collapse of the Twin Towers and the 7 World Trade Center were the result of controlled demolition rather than the structural failure due to the fire. Yep, that's right. The U.S. government, years in advance, planted explosives around these buildings, no one noticing it, no one finding traces of the explosives, but they did that because they knew that someday Muslims would fly planes into these buildings, and oh boy, we could really make it a big spectacle if we had somebody on site at the same time, maybe a remote control in the White House, that we could push the button and bring them down. Yeah, that's my theory. I'm going with that. Another prominent belief is that the Pentagon was hit by a missile, even though there's video of the airplane flying into the building, and that the DNA of the bodies of those passengers in the airplane was found within the Pentagon. But no, it was a missile that was either launched by elements inside the U.S. government, or that commercial airliner was allowed to do so via a effective stand down by the U.S. military. The U.S. military was inept. They weren't complicit. Possible motives claimed by conspiracy theories for such actions, including the justifying of invasions of Afghanistan and Iraq. You know, I can see that it's justifying both, and it was used to justify both. That's true. absolutely used to justify both. But just flying into the buildings, hijacking the two planes, screaming Allahu Akbar, based upon the lack of understanding of Americans relative to the nature of Islam, would have worked just as well. That there was geostrategic interest in the Middle East, they might just say oil, such as pipeline plans launched in the early 1990s by UNICAL. That's true now that George Bush, prior to 9/11 happening, told the Taliban, with whom he was negotiating, with whom Clinton had negotiated previously, that either you allow us to build a pipeline through western Afghanistan so that it comes down through Pakistan and out to a free water port so that the United States, too, can get its hands on Caspian Sea oil, not just China and Russia, that if you don't agree to the royalty that we have offered, then rather than getting a carpet of gold, you'll get a carpet of bombs. That's true. And George Bush used 9/11 to lash out at a symptom and make a bad situation worse in Afghanistan as a result. It certainly was used to justify George W. Bush's ill-fated negotiation with the Taliban. I've got no issue with those who like reviewing Pearl Harbor, recognize how bad the U.S. government was in terms of its preparation and response. Other conspiracy theories revolve around authorities having advanced knowledge of the attacks and deliberately ignoring or assisting the attackers. There are some people that had advanced notice that knew that they were going to occur because they had read Ramzi Youssef's strategy. And Ramzi Youssef wasn't somebody to be tinkered with. He's the guy that was convicted for the first bombing of the World Trade Center. He's the guy that came up with the mixing of chemical liquid explosives. Actually tested the plan. And the Philippines, man, he was a bad dude. In fact, one of the two perpetrators of Oklahoma Center, the city, spent considerable time with him before actually building a bomb using his design in Oklahoma City. Direct connections to Islam, but not to the U.S. government. Wikipedia says that the National Institutes of Standards and Technology and the technology magazine Popular Mechanics, as well as the show Mythbusters, have investigated and rejected the claims made by 9/11 conspiracy theories. The civil engineering community accepts that the impacts of the jet aircraft at high speeds in combination with subsequent fires, not controlled demolition, led to the collapse of the Twin Towers. On August 2007, Zogby poll commissioned by the 9/11 Truth Organization, to associate their organization with truth is laughable, found that 63.6% of Americans believe that Arab fundamentalists were responsible for 9/11. You know, why in the world would they say Arab fundamentalists? You know, majority of Muslims aren't Arab. Majority of 9/11 perpetrators, while they came from Saudi Arabia, they weren't all Arab as well. The problem is Islam. It's not a race. When you make the problem racial, then you completely exonerate the actual problem. It's Islam. So while it is true that fundamentalist does speak of a religion and that most Arabs are Muslim, at least for the 64% that know that it was perpetrated by fundamentalists, it's too bad they can't say fundamentalist Muslims. Well, that's these two-thirds of the people. Two-thirds of you got it. Fundamentalist Muslims perpetrated 9/11. 26.4% believe that certain elements in the U.S. government knew the attacks were coming, but consciously let them proceed for various political, military, and economic reasons. I'm telling you, those 26% of you who would have responded in that way, If if it was a way the question was worded, I could give you a break. If it was, do you think that the government used, should have known that 9/11 was going to occur and that subsequently used the attack for various political, military, and economic reasons, then you would be 100% correct. And perhaps that's the way that the question's actually read. But if you're suggesting that the U.S. government, high levels of the U.S. government, knew that it was going to occur and said, let's let it occur so that we can go to war, well, that's not reasonable. That's like going from the United States should have known that Japan was preparing to attack. The United States should have prepared Pearl Harbor so that we weren't sitting ducks. The United States should have responded to Pearl Harbor in a more moral and sane and less deadly and destructive way. I've got no problem with all of that, but when you go to the point to say that the President of the United States knew that Pearl Harbor was going to occur and let it happen so that he could declare war, that's a story in itself. Yes, in August of 2007, I hope this has changed since then. I suspect that it probably has. This is the Zogby. Zogby is a pollster, known for a algorithm for conducting internet-based polls as opposed to telephone-based polls. They were paid by the 911truth.org, which is a conspiracy site. In their investigation, 64% of you were of Americans recognized that Muslims, Islamic fundamentalists, were responsible for 9/11. 26.4%. I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt, which takes the total, of course, to 95%. That certain elements in the U.S. government should have known, as opposed to knew, the attacks were coming. But consciously let them, and I would say rather than consciously, subconsciously, through neglect, let them proceed forward. And then rather than this idea that they thought, boy, if we let these attacks happen, then we'll achieve our political and military and economic goals, that they recognized that after the attack occurred, they could spin what occurred to further their economic and military and political interest. And that is what occurred. Now, 4.8% believe that the U.S. government elements actively planned, that certain U.S. government elements actively planned and or assisted some aspects of the attacks. Now, for those of you, I just don't know if there's any hope. I just tell you the truth. I just lay it on the line. If you're among the 4.8%, if there's still 4.8% of Americans out there that think that the U.S. government actively planned and assisted in the 9/11 attacks, I'm beyond words. My suggestion would be to go to Wikipedia and to Google, or just to Google 9/11 conspiracy, and it'll take you directly to the Wikipedia page on it. Because all of the various theories, and there are lots of them. There are lots of them, and debunks all of them. I watched something last night, turning the page here, on the Sochi Olympic Games that was indeed troubling. And it was troubling for lots and lots of reasons, not the least of which is that it is a window into our immediate future. In Sochi, the Russians spent, I've heard the numbers close to, what I read in the paper a couple days ago, it was close to $50 billion to take this Black Sea resort town and make it into the site for the Winter Olympic Games. Now, poor choice of sites. It's obviously the Olympic Committee is highly political, highly susceptible to bribes. The Russians are absolutely political, willing to bribe. It's being used by Putin similarly to the way that Adolf Hitler used the Olympic Games during his rise to power. Showcase the greatness that is Russia versus the greatness that is the Nazi regime. And and spending $50 billion to create a disaster is what we should expect. You see, the Russians, this generation of Russians, were raised communist and now they're fascist. And in fascist systems, there is just enormous amount of graft. Of that $50 billion is spent, it was given to cronies of oligarchs, if you will, of Putin, and they pocketed enormous amounts of the money. And the workers themselves are so much like socialist workers around the world. They think they're entitled. They have no sense of value or purpose. They just want the paycheck and do very little for it. And so what we have now in Sochi is hotels for the arriving guests and journalists where almost nothing works. Many of them have an external facade and no flooring. Some of them have no lobbies. Some of them have no electricity. Others have no plumbing. It is an unmitigated disaster. The area around these facades of buildings looks like a garbage heap. It is an absolute unmitigated disaster. It shows how corrupt and inept we have become. And this witness in Russia, as Russia has moved from socialist to fascist, is what we should expect throughout Europe. Throughout the United States, it is our future as well. And even the plumbing doesn't work.